God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
First created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom, new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I can't tell you how I was just heartened. Just absolutely had my soul sing. I hadn't heard that promotion explaining what the American Family Association does. I hadn't heard it expressed that way before. Man, what an honor. The attack on the family is so utterly profound. It comes from so many different angles. There's so much to talk about today, but I just want to just pause for a moment and think about what God's grace has done through this radio network. Microsoft has announced in its new terms of service that if you have a Microsoft account, they're going to decide to delete things in the cloud that you might store if they don't like what it says. It's almost impossible for an ordinary person to avoid having a Microsoft account, because when you buy one of their new PCs, they do everything they can to force you to have a Microsoft account. It's the same thing they did in cutting off the air supply of Netscape. It's a monopolistic move. Incidentally, I worked at Microsoft. I'm deeply grateful for the money and the time and the responsibility they gave me. But to tell people who might be writing a novel or a diary that you bought a PC from us, we forced you to get an account, and you wrote something in your diary we don't like, we're going to erase it. You wrote something in a book with which we disagree, we're going to erase it. So obsessed are these people with hiding the truth that they're willing to do that. They can't erase AFR, the radio network. It must drive them insane that God has provisioned this network to stand in this time. It's not a mistake, I think. And Detective J. Warner Wallace talks about this in his book, Person of Interest. The Lord Jesus came at a time that was so utterly perfect. Despite the brutalities of Rome, they built a road system. Those road systems were protected by Roman soldiers. They had a system of mail. They had a common language because of the brutalities of Rome. There was a common language. Consequently, the words of the apostles first on foot got to travel in ways that they couldn't have before by virtue of the roads and the Roman guards. The words on writing, on papyrus, got to be transferred through mail. The common language made it far easier to preach. Well, in this time, obviously God knew ahead of time that arrogant companies like Microsoft would be telling people, when you spend $2,000 in a new PC and we force you to get an account, we're not going to let you say words we don't like. Well, here's radio. Here's American Family Radio. Your financial support is an investment in being able to speak from a godly perspective. So thank you for all of you who do that. You can do it at AFR.net, by the way, if you haven't yet done it. Again, there's so much to speak about in the news, but so much of it is so biblical in scope. John King at CNN doesn't know it, but he's proving in this audio clip that mass, uncontrolled, illegal immigration sets up countries within countries, a house divided.
This is what Joe Biden received, again, forgive me, 1,141 votes. Dean Phillips, 54 votes. And uncommitted, make sure I get this right, 3,703 votes. So that's a wow. If you look at it this way, this is 23%, and this is 75%. And so this is just the city of Dearborn, but that is where the biggest pocket of the Muslim American, the Arab American population. This is a place President Biden carried big time in 2020. This is key to his chances of defeating Donald Trump in Michigan.
It's also biblical. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's also biblical. Islam is not Christianity. They're not related. Oh, I know, they're Abrahamic. I know. I understand. But in terms of ideas, they're not related. In terms of the ability to provide a savior, they are not related. Only Jesus can do that. You want to talk about it politically? Fine. Dearborn, Michigan is a Muslim city, period. It will elect Muslim leaders. A lot of them extremists, as they have done. What is happening right now at the senior levels of government with the people who boss Joe Biden around? 9 million illegal immigrants flooded into our country who have no emotional connection to our country, no reason to have any loyalty. Some of them, I'm sure, are great people. I've said before, I knew a family of people who were probably illegal immigrants in Seattle. I count them as better parents than I am. I was and am. I would have been the first to testify on their behalf that after they leave the country and come back in, I would have hosted them. They were so good. But that's not what's happening with the military-age men coming across our border and being handed checks. I would play an audio clip for you, except it's in Spanish. I've been doing it on my video program. I do a video version of my podcast. I do 2.5 hours of video every single weekday. If you like, you can subscribe at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. This is a video of a young Hispanic man showing off a 3-month-old beautiful little baby girl, explaining that she's his bankroll. She's his anchor baby. This is how he pays for his lifestyle. It's biblical to see children as objects. Once again, as objects. It's also important to note that we're not isolated in this, that the United States, in fact, does not stand alone against the warfare against families and against choices and against health and against our bodies. The fight against globalism is real, and it's biblical, as God designed a government of distributed powers. Gladly, people like Nayib Armando Bukele Ortez, the president of El Salvador, has joined the battle. He spoke at CPAC.
They say globalism comes to die at CPAC. I'm here to tell you that in El Salvador, it's already dead. But if you want globalism to die here too, you must be willing to unapologetically fight against everything and everyone that stands for it.
Everything and everyone. He goes on in that statement to talk about dark powers. And they're already unleashed in this country. And he goes on to say that you may not see it, but they're here. Dark powers. Indeed, they are here. You might recall, if you listen to Disciples View on a regular basis, that I've shared with you a few details. I have to be careful, obviously, about helping a family escape one of the separate countries, I call it, Washington, Oregon, or California, because their kid was about to be seized by a glitter family, emancipated, stolen from them, their 13-year-old son who'd fallen into gender ideology. Guess what? Got a text this morning from another family. Same thing. This time it's a girl. This time it's in their home state where they thought they were safe, Wyoming. A hospital visited with their suicidal daughter. And the family was waiting for an update when one of the doctors came out and said, "We've been talking with your son." And the mother made the mistake of saying, "You mean my daughter?" He said, "That's the problem. They texted my wife, who works with parents like this. My wife's response at that point was, right now, go along with it. It's your only hope of getting your daughter out. And then leave. Get out of that town immediately. Don't look back. So that's globalism. That's at that high level. That's at the biblical level. That's a dark force. But to wind it back down in to the mundane, seemingly mundane, food costs are going way, way up because of inflation. The Buckeye Institute has looked at American cheese is up 78%, bananas 59%, beef 70%, rice 56%. That's bad enough, but the net zero policies, this is where there's a pretend effort to do away with the production of carbon dioxide, because they're telling us carbon dioxide is a dread poison. It's killing the children. It's killing the planet, which is why your Midwest states are being turned into carbon dioxide storage facilities for big companies with investors like U2's Bono, like South Korea, the Chinese Communist Party, Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn, the Jobs family, the Jobs estate, Steve Jobs estate, are attempting to steal farmland to store carbon dioxide in the ground to sell. The same thing they're telling you is a poison. So on one hand, you have these high inflationary costs of food. Let's take beef, for instance, 70%. These net zero so-called climate policies, which have nothing to do with the climate, are going to add an additional 34% to the costs of farmers. So if they were to pass that cost on to us entirely, the price of beef would go up 104%. But that doesn't even get to the top line cost. Why? Because of ESG, environment, social justice, and governance requirements. That's going to add additional costs. Who could afford to pay that? A family farm? No, they can't afford the lawyers to begin to get through the ESG paperwork. Who can afford it? Well, guys like Bill Gates, who are buying up farmland and have promised to use Microsoft, his company, he's still the biggest shareholder, to drive up the costs of carbon credits for meat-producing farms. He will pay more for carbon dioxide produced on soy farms than on meat farms, even though it's the same gas, carbon dioxide, because Bill Gates wants to force you to eat plastic meat, which will change our bodies for the worse. But don't worry, The New Scientist has a fix for all of this. They just published an article that, what with this shortage of protein, in addition to eating bugs, they wrote this: is it time for a more subtle view on the ultimate taboo, cannibalism? New archaeological evidence shows that ancient humans ate each other surprisingly often, sometimes for compassionate reasons. This find gives us an opportunity to reassess our views on the practice. Or you could look at what happens when species eat one another. What happens to their DNA? Oh, that's right. It breaks down and is destroyed, such as mad cow disease. You could also consult the Bible. Are we supposed to eat people? The fight against globalism is global, but it goes beyond the globe. It's a spiritual battle, and you're on one side or the other. A decision to not choose puts you on the side of Satan. An affirmative decision to choose Jesus Christ puts you on the side of victory, so decide. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll continue with Dr. Phil apparently awakening. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is just breaking news to me. Perhaps you've heard it, that Mitch McConnell is stepping down as a Senate GOP leader. He's 82, and as the Epoch Times points out, he's the only member of the GOP Senate to not endorse President Trump. He's not stepping down from the Senate. He's stepping down from his leadership role in the Senate. It'll be fascinating to see who replaces him. He's been there 17 years. And they give some accolades to McConnell. Fair enough. Roe versus Wade. Fantastic victory. Of course, the people who run Joe Biden are ignoring that. No, they're just funding it through other means. We live in a post-constitutional society. It's really, really important to understand this. You live in lawlessness. You do. I mean, there's still some laws on a local basis. We've got great law enforcement in North Idaho. Solid, compassionate, very serious about what they do. You just compare the crime rates. I live within the walking distance to Washington State. I can walk over a mountain and I'm in Washington State, literally 25% difference in home break-ins. Those same burglars could drive right across that same mountain and burgle our houses. They don't, because they'll get punished. So Mitch McConnell stepping down. They also called out and gave him props. Props. Gosh, I'm so hip. Gave him the proper respect for refusing to have a hearing for Merrick Garland to replace Antonin Scalia, and then getting appointed Justices Neil Gorsuch ended up filling that seat. And that's been a help on Roe versus Wade, but little else. Yes, affirmative action, they said, is unconstitutional, but Harvard and other schools have said, we don't care. We'll just do it through a different means. Again, lawlessness. Mitch McConnell's stepping down. Just one note that McConnell would probably want credit for, wouldn't he? He's one of the guys who ordered us at the Republican National Committee to not fight against Obamacare, to let it pass. Just part of his legacy. I'm sure he's proud of that. In attempting to be in the world and not of it, that's what we're told to do, to be in the world and not of it. I think it's really important to look at how easy it is for other people to be the world and not realize it. This is a headline from an actual publication in America that is well-respected within the Beltway. See if you can spot the lie. Arizona GOP advancing bill legalizing killing undocumented migrants on suspicion of trespassing. It's by April Rubin. My friend Chris Bray, who writes at chrisbray.substack.com, unbelievably gifted writer, brilliant man, calls this piece out. He points out that the author, April Rubin, as he writes, delightfully, Axios reporter April Rubin trained at the New York Times. Here's how she starts this story. Arizona Republicans are advancing a bill that would allow people to legally kill someone accused of attempting to trespass or actively trespassing on their property. Then the big picture, the legislation, which is expected to be voted on if it reaches the state's Democratic governor, or pardon me, vetoed if it reaches the state's Democratic governor, would legalize the murder of undocumented immigrants who often have to cross ranches that sit on the state's border with Mexico. They have to. These monsters, they're legalizing the murder of undocumented migrants, Chris writes. And then Chris does something insane. He goes and gets the bill and reads it. And he puts a screen grab of the bill so we too can read it. Guess what the bill does? It expands the existing castle doctrine, that is, no requirement to retreat. If someone breaks into your home and they're armed and threatening to kill you, you can defend yourself with a firearm or another weapon. Use lethal force in your home. This bill seeks to expand this to people's ranches, yards, and ranches. Why? Because ranchers have been murdered by undocumented migrants, meaning illegal immigrants, who have to cross their ranch land, meaning choose to. that you can be so of the world that you can write an article like that and believe somewhere in your mind that you've told someone the truth, that's remarkable to me. It's a sign of someone deeply, deeply unconnected with the ability to tell truth. Fortunately, we can fact check things like that. And then we can park in our mind, Axios is not a fact-based organization. April Rubin is an emotionalist. She's not a journalist. Both of those organizations seem to be seeking to grow self rather than to grow access to the truth. I paid attention for some time ago, for a little while to Dr. Phil. I found it interesting the way he became famous coming out of the Oprah sphere. Oprah's, in my judgment, a very, very lost woman. But I was interested in her brand extension, her ability to pick people and make stars. Dr. Phil's very good on TV, very blunt, kind of charming in a blunt way. But I stopped caring about Dr. Phil, and I don't know that I ever did. I just found his career fascinating. But it happens that Dr. Phil now appears to be having an awakening of sorts. He tried to educate the women on The View on the reality of what the people who run Joe Biden are doing to children illegally trafficked into America.
My understanding is that you went to the southern border. Now, you're saying that you're going to give people facts. What did you take away from that experience, and what kind of reporting are you going to be bringing back from that experience?
I'll tell you a fact I took away. I talked to the head of all the border guards down there, the head of the union. I asked him straight up, kids are coming over the border with numbers written on them, phone numbers and addresses. Mm-hmm. Do we check those out? He said, well, we call them. Is it possible that we're sending them into known prostitution rings or sweatshops? He said, it's not possible. It is absolute. We are using American tax dollars to ship children into known prostitution and sweatshops.
All children or some children?
Well, who knows?
Okay.
We don't know. I said, are you...
So what kind of checking do they do? So
They call the number and say, do you know about this child? They say, yes. Will you receive them when they come? Yes. I said, is it possible that that's a prostitution ring? He said, we know enough to know that it, in a number of cases, it has turned out to be absolute sex ring. It has turned out to be an absolute sweatshop. I said, how is this possible?
Well, what do they
and he
do?
He said, then? It is happening.
What do they do then if they know that that's happening? Where is the U.S. Attorney's Office? Where is the...
Here's the
good
thing.
Question,
you
isn't
have
it?
You have to re-ask that question when we come back. Because we're coming back with more with Dr. Phil.
Here's what you are required to believe to think that Phil is wrong. You would be required to believe that drug cartels who have set up shop in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in Portland, in Seattle, and Athens, and Atlanta, and Chicago, and Washington, D.C., and New York City, you'd have to believe that those drug cartels, having set up shop, having recruited local gang members as enforcers and sellers of drugs, are not going to do what drug cartels always do, which is once they get a foothold using drugs, they then begin the human trafficking, because drugs can only be sold once. Only one time can you sell a hit of fentanyl. The bodies of people can be sold countless times. The younger the victim, the more times the cartel gets to sell access to that victim's body. And the easier it is to get those victims hooked on drugs, the harder it is for those victims to exit what's called the life. The life. Wow. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, the way. And, Oh, yeah, it certainly serves the interests of Satan. Absolutely does. It's ungodly, to say the least. It's tempting to become depressed and anxious about this. Let us, though, not give in to a spirit of fear. That's also ungodly. Let us remember, justice has been meted out. It doesn't make it better for the kids who are being tortured. Jesus has the ultimate mercy, the ultimate wisdom. He has ways to reach in to those circumstances and to draw those children to himself, ways that you and I can never really begin to grasp his miraculous powers to do that. Justice has been meted out for the people who are doing this and who have not yet repented. And if they don't repent, they will spend eternity with lots of time to consider their life choices. We, though, are paying to sex traffic kids, your tax dollars, the people who run Joe Biden, our Department of Justice, Mitch McConnell, who's stepping down as Senate leader of the Republicans, perfectly happy with open borders. See, the fight against globalism is a fight against Satan. It's globalism that has pushed us to this point. When the Lord Jesus described a governing method to the Jewish people, he described distributed powers. The prophets do prophecy. The Levitical priests take care of the temple. The judges judge the people. In the modern church era, pastors preach. You could say they prophesy in a way. They preach. Elders run the church body or run the church business. Properly elected elders. The church body, of course, is responsible for the overall management. That's not what globalism is about. It's about top-down control on everything. We just talked about top-down control of food. Now is top-down control on what it is to be a child. Now, Dr. Phil speaks these words, to the Women of the View, and it's a remarkable video. Because you know what's weird? The Women of the View do not act repulsed. They don't sit back as if to move away from the information, as if they're shocked. They don't lean forward as if to get more information. They minimize. Sonny Hostin says, wait, so all the kids are just some? Oh, just some. I do pray that Dr. Phil will continue this because he's got a massive audience. Now, if Dr. Phil, if you're hearing this, because maybe you are, this is a huge radio network. Why do you think this is happening? You think it's just bad policy? No, this is Nebuchadnezzar in reverse. Guys, this is the book of Daniel in reverse. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had to send out armies to seize kids. Our government pays to get it done. And separate countries like Washington, California, and Oregon kidnap kids by advertising, we'll give you what you want. What your flesh desires. Colorado Representative Scott Bottoms, I should say real quick, this is hard to hear, guys. If you're listening with kids, heads up for a couple minutes. This is hard to hear, but it's important to hear. It's Colorado State Representative Scott Bottoms confirming that people are buying 1 to 5-year-old children for sex.
These are the times that I am discouraged about my job as a representative and also just what happens here at the Capitol. We sat in a committee all day discussing whether or not somebody that buys little children, these are 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, they buy them for sex. That we tried to get a bill through, Representative Bradley sent one through, that was going to put these buyers in jail. Right now, most of the time, they get off on probation. Almost all the time, they get off on probation after buying a child and raping a little child. And we tried to say, well, they need to at least serve a minimum of 4 years. And then we sat and listened to the Democrats fight against this bill, fight against putting these people in jail, and came up with all kinds of reasons, including that these buyers are victims themselves. This is very discouraging, and it's also very disgusting for me that they would actually defend this. And then they voted completely along party lines. The Democrats voted 100% that they did not want to put these pedophiles in jail. They defended the pedophiles. This is why it's so difficult sometimes to do what we do around here. We know we're on the side of right. We know we're on the side of morality. And we get shot down by, I do not understand the thought process behind this, but we do get shot down. This is why I would encourage you to do a few things to help us with this. First, if you believe in prayer at all, please pray. We are fighting truly dark forces here. this is not okay, this is evil stuff that we're dealing with. And if you have the ability to come up and testify on bills or anything like this, please do so. Your voice is very important to what we're trying to accomplish around here. We are the minority, but with you, we become a powerful force.
I would also just remind the Democrats in Colorado who voted to protect pedophiles who pay to rape babies. God sees every single minute, second, and millisecond of your life. Everything. Whatever reason you've concocted in your mind for doing that, you're broken. You're committing grave sin. I've sinned. I try not to practice it. You are not just practicing it. You are making it law. Jesus reserved one of his most clear warnings for people like you. He said, effectively, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble coming to me, you're going to wish someone put a millstone around your neck that's a massive weight and dropped you into the ocean to drown. That's what you're going to wish. I'm not qualified to preach. Fire and brimstone is real. Hell is a real place. If you don't move away from defending the rape of children, you're going there. And if we as a nation do not stop letting our taxpayers' dollars go to this, we risk it as well. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I have to give some credit coming up to Hotel Clerk. I was just in the last segment. Man, that was a tough segment. You know, it's funny when we're doing radio. So just a back end conversation here. Something goes on behind the scenes when I'm wrapping up a segment. Randy, who makes things run the proper way, he will tell me clear when we're going into a break, meaning my mic is off. You don't hear my mic. My mic's not off, but you guys don't hear it. So if I wanted to say something to Randy or he to me, then we can have a conversation. Sometimes you have to direct things during the show. Hey, are we going to use this sound clip, etc.? Now, I don't know if Randy ever comes on the air. I've never asked him. But I heard something in his voice, in his emotions. He's a parent. And he's a good godly man. He and his wife Joy are great godly people. If you didn't hear that last segment, that was a tough segment. And I think I heard in Randy's voice probably the nature of that tough segment. Justin, we've become friends from afar. Now, I'm out here in the Idaho area. He's in Mississippi. But I heard it. Randy, text me if I'm right, that you felt that was a tough segment. We just talked about Dr. Phil alerting the ladies of the View to the fact that your tax dollars are paying for sex trafficking of kids. Your tax dollars are paying for it. And then we heard from a Colorado state representative who confirmed, yes, people are getting away with this and Democrats are okay with it. And they're going to let it continue to happen. They don't want to punish these people. So I want to provide some hope because, man, there are everyday people who are fighting this evil. And I just got to give some proper respect to a guy, two men. I'll never know. I can't even remember their faces. I just know they were on it when it came to trying to protect my daughter. I'll tell you about that as we wrap up the show. On the Disciples View, we make a habit of thanking the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
three sound bites that I think put weight behind my theory that God is putting supposedly wise people up on display for all of us to look at and go, wow, they're not all that smart. But then again, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. First soundbite. This right here is the way to respond to the babble of the gender lying language destroyers.
Are you aware that they, them, their can be used in the singular form? Grade 8. A pronoun is a word used in place of a noun. A subject pronoun can be used as the subject of a sentence. It can be singular, I, you, he, she, it, or plural, we, you, they. They canceled the meeting because of bad weather. A possessive pronoun shows possession. Singular possessive pronouns are my, your, his, her, and its. And plural possessive pronouns are our, your, and their. I will not participate in your made-up language. This is why I homeschool. We are done living in your imaginary world.
Praise God. Praise God, because of course, male and female. That's the first soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. They're not always related to one another. This is just Gavin Newsom, who apparently got the memo from the DNC. The contest is in for who can most vigorously kiss the boots of the White House so they can get in line to replace the figurehead if the DNC succeeds in dropping him from the DNC presidential ticket.
About President Biden's ability to serve a second term, do you think it's responsible for Democrats to put him at the top of the ticket given those concerns?
Responsible. I revere his record. I mean, what he's done in 3 years has been a masterclass, close to 15 million jobs. That's eight times more than the last three Republican presidents combined. The economy is booming. Inflation is cooling. It's 0.6% more than it was in the summer of 2020 at just 3.1%. Wait a second. We have American manufacturing coming back home, all because of Biden's wisdom, because of his temperance, his capacity to lead in a bipartisan manner, which is an underrepresented point. And so I have great confidence moving forward. So the answer is absolutely all in terms of the next 4 years, Joe Biden.
These voters, though, are not complaining about his record. They're talking about concerns about his ability to beat Trump, who you've called a lightning, threat essentially to the democracy. But in private, we've heard a lot of his allies say publicly, in private, he is strong. He's in command.
Yeah.
He's forceful. Does he need to do more to show?
I think he's doing everything he needs to do. I mean, he's got an extraordinary record. He's doing everything he needs to do on Ukraine at the moment. He's doing everything he needs to do.
What's so invigorating? Is it the right word? What's so invigorating to him about lying that way? You can see it in the video. He loves it. The jobs, quote, created are jobs recovered after they crushed the economy. His statement that our inflation is up, what did it say, 0.6% since 2020? That's a lie. It's a brutal lie. We just talked this segment or this show about the increased food costs. Beef is up 70%. It's about to go up to 104%. It's remarkable. Who gets joy from lying in such a way? What sort of personality digs that? Sociopathic. It's fun for them. I'm not saying he's a sociopath. I don't want to bear false witness. But he is and has overseen the utter destruction of the state of California with multiple cities' pension funds completely bankrupt. But don't worry. You will bail them out. With crimes and robberies and rapes at record high levels and with the outflow of people unmatched in modern society going to largely Texas and Florida. But yes, Gavin Newsom telling us the way it is about Joe Biden. He is in command. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Now, this is an 8-year-old video of 60 Minutes Australia trying to show the peaceful results of open border diktats in Sweden. Sadly, Americans' political bosses are happy to have this happen here.
Mm-hmm. And they don't assimilate well into the Swedish culture and society, and they're unemployed, and they're poor. So you add all these factors together, and their youth are feeling marginalized. and don't speak Swedish very well, so they don't get jobs or get into the Swedish youth culture either.
But not everyone is hostile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my cousin lives in Melbourne.
Many locals are polite and friendly and happy to talk.
It's good.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
But what happened next changed everything. The police leave, and as we prepare to go, young men masking their faces arrive.
Good, you're doing good.
You're doing good?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Take it easy.
Okay, you too.
And attack.
They're hitting and throwing.
Go!
Hitting the people.
Go, what? Okay,
Excuse me.
Please, please.
No, we are leaving, but you don't need to hurt us. There's no need to be unkind.
You can't see.
Don't do it. The gang's attention turns when a local intervenes and drives his mobility scooter into the most violent attacker.
It's me. It's truly an old man who just drives his that little, the mobility scooter, so what you call it, boom, takes down one of the assailants. Well, not every illegal immigrant does that, but lawlessness begets lawlessness. And then there'll be the time of the lawless one. And I think Satan is in a period of a dry run, a rehearsal for the lawlessness of the lawless one. That is a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
What we call in the radio business segment two, which was the segment prior to this one, pretty tough topic. Dr. Phil going on The View and attempting, I think, to educate these women about what cartels do. They traffic in human beings. The younger the human being, the better for them. So he educated them with the fact that our tax dollars are paying to put little kids in the hands of sex traffickers who will then be tortured sexually for the rest of their life unless they're rescued. We had Scott Bottoms, this representative from the state of Colorado, saying, yeah, this happens. People do this. They buy little kids to abuse them this way, 1 to 5-year-olds. And the Democrats in Colorado are okay with that. They don't want to punish men who do that. They unanimously voted against a bill to punish men. Why? Because they're cowards and because they're spiritually broken. We're all spiritually broken, but we're not all possessed. I can't say, because it would be false witness, that they're all possessed, but please tell me, if you had a chance to stop kids from being sold into sex slavery, and you said, it's not a vote I'm willing to take, what would be the explanation aside from being utterly, utterly spiritually captured? There's no political power in it. I asked Randy, who produces the show behind the scenes, to text me if that was a hard segment for him to hear, because I heard in one word from my friend, when we go into breaks, Randy says to me, clear, meaning that my mic is off in case I need to talk to him, so I wouldn't be talking over the commercials. And I heard in his voice, clear. I asked him to text me, was I right? That was a tough segment. Randy wrote to me, tough segment. But it must be said, people are hiding from this topic. I think people are hiding from it. I don't give enough credit for two men, young men, at a hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. I wish I had their names or could remember their faces. It was a brutally hard time for our family, brutally difficult. Hardest on my daughter. My daughter had something very, very bad happen to her. And that bad event changed who she was. She had a period of absolute turmoil, spiritually and from a mental health perspective. And for 3 years, we lived through that. It was in the midst of that time when she was in a treatment center and we were spending, and praise God that we had the resources, $30,000 cash per month at least to keep her in that treatment center, trying to save her life and traveling down there, say, once or twice a month. It was in the midst of that that she and I went to Las Vegas. The treatment center was about 2 hours from there. We drove down to have a dad and daughter weekend. It was a surprise. I surprised her. The treatment center said, yeah, this is a good idea. She's done really well. Give her a break. We went down and she flew stunt planes. My daughter actually did flips in planes. I've got the video. Crazy. It was funny watching her because I got to see it happening live. There was a camera on her face. I saw her excited and happy until she did her first flip. I saw, wow, she's holding something back. When we checked into the hotel, we arrived, walked in. Here I am at that point, in my early 50s. My daughter at that point, I think probably 14, 15. She did not look well because she'd been in a tough place, this treatment center. She was quiet. She's very shy. And when we were checking in, I saw one of the young men come to me and ask me questions. Hey, I need you to take this. Is this the correct credit card? By the way, do we have the right phone number? As he did that, another young man at the desk engaged my daughter in conversation. Hi, what brings you to Las Vegas? Hey, by the way, did you know that we have an app for kids on your phone? Do you have your own phone? Do you have your own ID? In case you want to go do something later, I could get you your own key. She did have an ID, and she did have her own phone. We went upstairs and ordered some food. I told her she was feeling really poorly after this airplane experience. Yeah, we'll eat in the room. That's okay. We'll spend the money. And I went downstairs when the food was arrived, being delivered. Not room service, but being delivered. I went to the front desk. I said to the first young man who distracted me, I said, can I talk to you? He looked like, oh, great, this guy's going to get after me. I said, I wanted to thank you. I know what you were doing. You were checking to see if my daughter is being sex trafficked, weren't you? And he goes, yes, sir. You did it magnificently. And I said, please tell your colleague as well. I appreciate it. He goes, sir, you have no idea how glad we're here that it really annoys some people. I said, no, if you're going to do a job, do it right. A lot of people are fighting this evil. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God Almighty decides that you and I can all get together and chat again, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.